right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. We are going to read verses 8 through 13 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Job 33, verses 8 through 13. I'm going to read verse 4, and then I'm going to jump back to verse 8, and I'll read verse 8, and we'll read responsively from verse 8 on. I know that's just a little change, but with this one extra verse, it was just going to be a little too difficult. So Job 33, verses 8 through 13, but I'm going to read verse 4 to you aloud. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now, I'm going to start on verse 8. You join me on verse 9. We'll alternate back and forth that way. Verse number 8. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me, he counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks, he marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just, I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. You sure are good. Lord, we must have you today. We need you. Probably never again in history will this exact group of people be assembled exactly this way. That means you have a truth for us this morning. I pray that you'd help us to get it. Lord, those that, if at all possible, could be back tonight to finish it out, I pray that they would be here. Lord, I believe if you were here on this Sunday, you would give to Grace Baptist Church this truth. So help us to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, both services, I would like to help you. This morning will be part one. I really need your attention. For 25 years, full-time, I've been in the ministry. For over 34 years, I have been preaching. I started preaching in August 1st of 1980 as a 13-year-old boy. That was a long time ago. I have worked with, I know I can say, hundreds of thousands, and it's I know it's not a stretch. If you count all the attendances of all the church services I've been in, that just on Sundays and Wednesdays, I have worked with near 8-9 million people. I've been around. And I have not traveled extensively, but I've preached in over 30 different states in our country. It's not those special meetings. I've been around a little bit. I see something and have seen something for a long time. I see things that take place that worry me a little bit. And that is this: good people get bitter. Good people get bitter. Now, if you will give me a hearing today, I will show you not just why, but I'll show you how that good people don't ever have to be bitter. Why do good people get bitter? The more sincere someone is, it seems, the easier it is for them to become bitter. The more you serve God, the easier it is to get bitter. I have seen a lot. I've seen that Christians who are trying to do the most for Christ are more prone to getting hurt and getting bitter. It seems like the more you try to help and do things for God, the easier it is for people to hurt you and you to get bitter. Let's take Job. Job, the Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse number 8, and you need not turn there, but I'm going to read it to you so that I don't misquote God here. By the way, these are God's words, not my words. Man did not write this. Job did not write this. God wrote this. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Again, later in chapter 2, the same is said. Now, that word perfect does not mean sinless. It means complete, well-balanced. Job, the Bible says, God said of Job, he was a very, very good man. Matter of fact, he was such a good man that the Bible says that God said to Satan, Satan came to God and said, hey, people just serve you because you do good things for them. And God said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's not a better man in all the earth than Job. You can do whatever you want to him. He's going to love me no matter what. And we know the story, how that in just a matter of a few minutes, everything in Job's life turned upside down. Let me show you what I mean. While Job was working one morning in his office, the Bible says that a servant came to him and said, Job, the Sabians have come and killed your servants that were watching over your oxen and your donkeys. Both herds have been stolen by the Sabians, and all of your workers in that part of the business have been killed by the Sabians, and only I escaped. Well, not only was that a big loss to him in business, but though he lost all those employees. He had to tell their families that their husbands were killed while working for him. Those were his friends. The Bible says while that man was talking, another came in and said, Job, wow, you're not going to believe this. There was a fire and it destroyed your entire flock of sheep. By the way, Job was the wealthiest man in all the world. He said, this fire came and destroyed all your sheep, and it burned up all those that were working with your sheep. And only I escaped to tell thee. Job's devastated. Two businesses lost. And all of his workers. While that man was talking, another came racing in and said, Job, you're not going to believe this. The Chaldeans have come and stolen all your camels and destroyed and killed all of your servants that were watching and caring for all of your camels. He's lost all of his oxen. He's lost all of his donkeys. He has lost all of his sheep. And he's lost all of his camels. All within a matter of moments. And all of the workers that worked with them have been killed. While that messenger was talking, another came in weeping and sobbing. He said, what's the matter? He said, Job, you're not going to believe this. He said, all of your kids were together in a house and a tornado came and the house blew down on them and all 10 of your children are dead. Whew. You talk about having a bad day. Dad's having a bad day. All of this in a matter of moments. The Bible says that when the final news came, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job began to mourn and try to go through. He'd lost everything. Satan went back to him and said, I know, but you let me take his health, and he's going to curse you. Job's three friends came and visited him and began to get critical with him. God allowed the devil to test Job again, and he had great boils all over his body. His health was destroyed. He's sitting in the city dump, scraping boils with hot pottery that had been broken in the ashes there to find some soothing out of the pus that was running out of his body. His wife walked up and said, you're pitiful. Why don't you just curse God and die, Job? Lost the loyalty of his wife. His friends have turned their back on him. He's in a mess. We read here in Job 33, and I'm not going to take time to go back, but here is a good man that's lost it all. And he finally gets to the point where he's bitter. And he said here in Job 33, he said, has God forsaken me? He doesn't even hear me. I lived good for God and he's basically left me alone to suffer. Good people can get bitter. Now, Job was a good man. That would be like our dear friend, Brother Jerry Lowther, getting bitter after all he's been through. 13 years of MS and all the issues he's had. Now, Jerry's not bitter. Not at all. But it would be like us hearing that Jerry Lowther got bitter. No, he just went to Target and got drunk. No. Jerry is just such a good man. But he's been through a lot. Can I tell you something? There are things in life that seem unfair to me. There are. I'm going to make a strange statement to some of you, and don't worry, lightning won't strike when I make this statement. Do you know there are many times God and I don't agree? There are many times I personally tell God I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair for Janice and Jerry and their family to have to go through what they've gone through with Jerry's health. I'll be honest with you. I just don't think it's fair. I don't like it. I don't think it's fair that, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't think it's fair that some people go to heaven and some people go to hell. I realize Jesus paid the price for us, and all they have to do is accept Jesus Christ as their Savior to take them to heaven, but I don't like the fact that there's a hell. I really don't. I accept it because that's what God said. But I'll be honest with you, I don't like it. I don't think it's fair that some of you ladies lost a baby before it was born or shortly after it was born. I could point all over this room, and there are ladies in this room. There's probably a half a dozen or more children in heaven. I don't think it's fair that some of you outlived your own children. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair that what we call premature deaths, maybe your parents died earlier in life. I just don't think it's fair. But can I tell you something? God is good. I don't think it's fair sometimes when the news comes. I'll be honest with you. I had a hard time this morning. I wanted to get mad about our church van being stolen. I walked back into my office, Brother Mike, and I, sitting on my desk, there's a letter from a mama whose daughter was murdered a year ago. I thought, what right do I have to complain about a van? My daughter wasn't murdered. Begging for help. And I want to complain about a church van being stolen? Forget it. I don't think it's fair that lady's daughter was murdered. I don't think it's fair. But folks, I'm not going to get bitter over it. I'm not going to get bitter over it. I don't think, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I can use this since it's fresh on my mind. I don't think it's fair my mom's sitting at home right now might lose her toe tomorrow. I don't think it's fair, but that's okay. God's good. God's good. Say, are you bitter? You can look inside there. There's not one shred of bitterness. Not one. I can put my head down every day of my life and tell you, I'm not bitter. Say, but you don't agree with God. I don't often agree with God. I'll show you why and show you how to resolve that today. Let me show you what I mean. How do I keep, and how does a person keep from getting bitter with God? By the way, I'm not talking about people who are bad people. I'm talking about good people that have faced things that I don't think fair. Number one, you face a decision. A decision comes. Something happens. And you have to face that decision. Number two, I try to figure out what the best thing to do is. Listen to that statement. I try to figure out what the best answer to the solution is. Have you ever, I wrote a book several years ago. In it, I make a statement, anybody can spot a problem. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out there's a problem somewhere. When I worked for other pastors, I didn't just go to them and say, hey, preacher, we got a problem. Anybody can go to somebody with a problem, but I always tried to go with at least one answer to the problem. It may have not been the best answer, but at least I had put enough time in to say, thought through it, maybe this will help. About 60% of the time, it wouldn't have worked. But at least the boss knew I was trying to come up with a solution, not just showing there was a problem. I may disagree with God with how to fix it. I probably will see it differently than God sees it. You know, Isaiah chapter 55, and I'll turn there. You need not turn there. I'm going to read some verses to you. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall be prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Did you notice? God didn't say, you're going to understand me. He said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I just can't understand why God did not intend you to understand. You're not God. Why is it that God's only good when you can figure him out? Well, I just don't think it's fair. I didn't say you'd think it's fair, but quit making God come down to where you are. Sometimes you have to accept God knows better than you. So, number one, I face a decision. Number two, I try to figure out what the best thing to do is, and sometimes I disagree with God. Number three, God knows we cannot see the same way. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. I see higher than you see. I see farther than you see. I know the end before the beginning. And guess what? You're not always going to see what God sees. Well, if I could just know what I was going to end up doing, I would. It doesn't matter what you're supposed to see at the end. You're supposed to obey him now. Do you think 25 years ago I saw myself pastoring Grace Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia? You're stupid. I had no idea. None. But I know that each and every step of the way over the last 25 years led up to this moment. And I'm as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. Folks, God knows we cannot see the same way he sees. Number four, I try to see what God says the best thing to do for me is according to the Bible. Well, I just don't see why God. Did you go to the Bible and see what God's answer was in the Bible? Well, my loved one died, and I don't see why God didn't. Did you go to the Bible to find out what God said? There's only one time in Scripture where God extended the life of a man. He extended it 10 years, and that man would have been better off dying when God appointed it, because those last 10 years of his life, he screwed his whole life up. Well, I wanted more time. Yeah, you wanted, but God didn't. God knew what was best. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, I don't understand why God took my baby or babies before they were born. I don't understand it either, but just know this, it was best. God knew what was best. It doesn't make the hurt go away. It doesn't make you feel a whole lot better. But may I say this, God knows. That child who died in the womb never had to face the effects of sin here on this earth. They didn't have to face the effect of evil. They never faced cancer. Guess what? God wanted that child. Whew, that's pretty special. That's pretty special. Say, so, yeah, but I wanted it too. Sometimes you're not going to agree with God. You know, I try to, when I disagree with God or he and I don't see eye to eye, I try to go to the Bible to see what the Bible says. For instance, every once in a while, I'll get either a phone call or a letter to join up with a certain politician to fight a moral issue. Let me use one as an illustration. I hate abortion. I hate it. Anybody who can murder a baby needs to be put in jail. Matter of fact, they need to be put to death because that is murder. I'm as against that as I am anybody going out in the streets and just murdering to murder. Matter of fact, I'm probably more against it because that innocent child in the womb has no say-so in the issue and no defense. I am against abortion. But I hate to tell you this, I'm not going to join up with, and I'll use a name, though she herself has not contacted me about this. But I'm not going to join up with Shelley Moore Capito in a political march against abortion. Amen. I like Shelley. I've met her, been to her office several times. She's hosted some groups with me. I've talked with her, her staff knows me a little bit. I contact her on a regular basis. Say why? Because I have plenty to complain about right now. But I went to the Bible. There's a story of two men named Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat yoked up with Ahab in a political cause, and Ahab was a lost politician. They yoked up for a good purpose, but Jehoshaphat ended up being destroyed because he went with the political way rather than God's way. Guess what? Bible principle. I don't yoke up and get involved in politics even for a good cause. Say why? I've watched too many churches go political and get away from soul winning. Can I tell you the best way for us to fight abortion? Let's go out and knock on every door we can, win people to Jesus Christ, show them what the truth is, and they'll quit having their abortions. Yes, sir. They need to know what the truth is. They don't need to have another march. Everybody doing okay? Yes. Get involved in your political marches instead of going out and knocking on doors, marching for Jesus. Boy, that's a good statement. Yes. So, when I go to the Bible, by the way, I'm still against abortion. But I'm not going to yoke up with politicians to fight abortion. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going to go knock on more doors, win more people to Christ, and teach people why not to have abortions. That's wrong. Number five, sometimes, even in the Bible, God and I disagree. Sometimes, even in the Bible, God and I disagree. This is not true. This is an illustration. But if you found out that I was a murderer 40 years ago, and I stood as your pastor, would you want me as your pastor? Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. Everybody doing all right? The Apostle Paul murdered Christians. Matter of fact, he went into churches, stole the church records, and started visiting the church membership to throw them in jail and have them killed. Huh. You wouldn't have me for your pastor if you found out 40 years ago I murdered somebody, but the men that God used were murderers. If you found out I cussed and swore at somebody this week, and I didn't, Brother Smith did. I just agreed with him. No, but if you found out that I got mad and cussed and swore and threw a fit at somebody, you'd be awful disappointed in me. And by the way, you should be. Huh. The Apostle Peter did it, and 43 days later, he was preaching Pentecost. Saw 3,000 people get saved. Huh. Guess you and God don't agree, do you? See, there are times you will not agree with God. You don't always have to be in agreement with God to be a good Christian. But you must obey God to be a good Christian. I don't have to agree with God to obey God. But I must obey Him to be a good Christian. I don't agree with God that somebody that I know and have been working on for many, many, many years in our city, she has a brain tumor right now. I don't agree with God with that. Guess what? I'll obey God. I don't agree that our dear friend Brother Lowther's down again today. Guess what? I'll obey God. I don't always agree with what you're going through right now. But may I say this? We can obey and keep on going. So let me review, and I'm going to hit number 6, and then we're going to kick into overdrive. I face a decision. I try to figure out what the best thing to do is. God knows we cannot see the same way. I try to see what God says, what is best to do in the Bible. Then God and I still sometimes disagree. Number 6. Then, in order not to be bitter, I go against my judgment to do what God says is best. If it comes down to a decision between God's way or what I want to do, I can't be so stubborn to look at God, who is perfect, God, who is holy, God, who created everything, God, who sees all, knows all, hears all, and sees the end before the beginning. Who am I to say, God, what you have to say isn't right, and I'm going to do my way anyway? So I go against my own judgment and say, doesn't matter what I want, doesn't matter what I see is fair, doesn't matter what I see is just, I'll do what you say. God, are you sure? I don't like it. I don't think it's fair. I can't see. And he says, but your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. I see the end before the beginning. If you'll just trust me, okay, I still don't agree, but I'm going to do it. Can I tell you what? That'll keep you from getting bitter. I yield to what I think God says. Now, listen to this. I don't need to agree to yield. I don't need to agree to yield. You know, there are streets in Martinsburg, whoever figured out what the speed limit was is an idiot. There are places that I don't agree with the speed limit. There are places that, in my opinion, there should either be a stop sign or a stop light, and I don't agree with the fact that there's not one there. You go. I live over by in Wildflower. You go over there by the rocks, the new rocks they put in there at Cemetery and Jenny Wren. That's now a four-way place because of the rocks, but it's only a three-way stop. I see an accident there about every other week, and see almost accidents about every other day. Because nobody pays attention to what's going on there. Nobody. I've seen more cars crash there than in any one intersection in Berkeley County. Trust me. Can I tell you something? I don't agree with the idiots that don't put either a light in there or a stop sign on all four. But guess what? I obey it. Do you know that I obey the speed limits no matter what? Whether I agree with it or not? I do. You say, I don't. That's why I don't look over my shoulder when the officer comes. And you do. That's why my foot doesn't go to the brake as soon as I see him. And yours does. Everybody doing all right? When you pulled on the parking lot and the Berkeley County Sheriff was sitting in the parking lot, what were you thinking this morning? I had a clear conscience. Did you? I saw people go around the long way to come to church just to make sure he was gone. I don't have to agree to obey. Did you catch that? Now, do you know someone who is good who has become bitter? You see, they didn't start out to disagree with God. They, in their sincerity, truly tried to please God. Listen to this statement. They had a desire to do what they thought was right. Did you hear that? What they thought was right. They became bitter when they discovered what they thought was right did not match what God said was right. Bitterness is you try to do something right and it doesn't turn out like you thought it was going to turn out. Then you get mad at God and say, but I did what I thought was right. And now you're bitter with God. You didn't set out to disobey. You did not set out for bad to happen, but what your right you thought was did not match what God said was right. Listen to this statement. When it doesn't turn out like you thought it would, then you start to get bitter. Good people, like Job, get bitter because they really believe they're doing right, and then it doesn't turn out like they thought. I wonder who's sitting in here today, and you're bitter at God. You started going to church, and you started trusting a church, or trusting a pastor, or trusting a Sunday school teacher. You started trusting somebody, and then something happened. Something bad happened. Evil came in and ruined. Can I tell you something? Your right doesn't have to match God's right to be right. Some of you are living in bitterness over somebody that has hurt you in the past. You did not set out to do wrong. You set out to do right, but your right did not match God's right, and now you are bitter. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me give you the rest of this morning's sermon. I have six statements this morning on top of what I just gave you. Number one, good people say, this is what I think is right. This is what I think is right. Everybody look at me for just a moment here. There are too many good people, good Christian people, who are taking way too much time asking God to lead them, to show them what is right. It's right there. Well, I'm just seeking God to find out what is right. I can tell you what's right. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Some of you are praying for God to show you what's right, but you're not in that book to see what God says is right. Everybody doing okay? Well, I've been seeking God on this, and I have people often come get my advice. Maybe it's for a job or a new house or a new vehicle or something like that. One of our good men recently contacted me about some wisdom on a new vehicle. And honestly, they had a desire, but felt it was selfish. I said, no, I think it's good. You've earned the right to get to that level. I think you ought to do it. I think it's a good investment, not just because it's something you want. He said, really? I said, really? He said, I didn't think you were going to answer that way. I said, I think it's right. It's okay. Now, wait a minute. I help people a lot. But Go to the Bible and find out what it says. That same person 10 years ago, I probably would not have advised that way. Say why? Because they were just starting into a career, just starting with a family. They weren't quite ready for it. But they've proven themselves, earned the right, and guess what? God says, there's a Bible principle for that. And you follow the Bible principle. It's amazing in 48 hours how God worked the whole thing out. Say why? Because we followed Bible principle. It wasn't just, oh, I'm just praying for God to show me. No, there's Bible principle. When good people pray for God to lead them, to show them what is right, good people still are making the final decision and not God. Okay, God, you show me what car I'm supposed to buy. Just make sure it's red. Make sure it's this model. Make sure it's this year. And make sure it's got this mileage. And it's at this lot that I saw it at. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, God, you're going to show me by opening the door. And if that door opens, can I tell you something? The devil can open doors just as easy as God can. Some of you are disappointed with God because you are praying, God show me, but you still make the final decision and not God. And I'm not mad at anybody. But I'm here to shout, Moses didn't pray when he was leading 3.5 to 5 million Jews out of Exodus. Oh God, what's the right time for us to leave? He knew God made it very clear. When he got to the Red Sea, he didn't have to pray and say, oh God, what is your will? He said, God, you better do something in a hurry because you and I don't see this the same way. I got the Egyptian army here and I've got the Red Sea there. I got nowhere to go and I've got to have your help. And God said, watch this. Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, hold it up. He held that rod up. The wind came all night long, blew, opened up a path big enough for 3.5 to 5 million people to cross over on dry ground on the Red Sea. By the way, not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea. And they crossed over on dry ground. The Reed Sea is a marsh in northern Sinai Peninsula. You say, well, there's no way they could have walked across the Red Sea. Any God that can open up and dry up a pathway for 5 million people to cross on can make a pathway for them to walk on. It's more of a miracle that the Egyptian army died in a marsh because all the waters flooded upon them than it is that they crossed over on dry ground. Huh. Moses didn't have to say, oh God, will you show me the way? He only had one way to go. And it wasn't the way Moses would have seen go. This is exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to decide what is right and what is wrong. He wants you to decide what God's will is, not God. If you went to Genesis chapter 3, we won't turn there. When Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan came to Eve and said, Eve, would you look at that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Look at that fruit. Wouldn't you like to eat of that? God told you not to eat of it because in the day that thou eatest, you'll be like God. You'll be able to decide good and evil, right and wrong for yourself. Eve, you eat that tree, you could be like God and know good and evil yourself. You won't need God. Hello. Well, preacher, we just feel God leading. That's Pentecostal. Show me in the Bible. I'm not saying that God cannot lead someone, but he's going to make it very clear. You won't have to wonder. By the way, if you have to trust your opinion over God's, go with God's. Well, we think this is right. Anybody that tells me I think this is right, I tell them not to do it. Brother Buck, I was preaching in Washington State years ago, preaching a youth meeting up there, pastor walked a young man up to me, 15 years old or so, said, "This young man tonight came and he thinks God's called him to preach." I said, "Do you think so?" He said, "Yes, sir, I think so." I said, "God didn't call you." The pastor almost passed out. I said, "God didn't call you." The pastor said, "Brother Bush." I said, "Hush." I said, "Son, you think so?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "You don't come back and tell me till you know so. When you can come back and tell me God did it, then we'll talk." I turned around and walked away. That pastor chased me down. He said, "What are you doing talking to my young people that way?" I said, "We've had enough mama called, papa sent preachers in the pulpit. I don't need somebody that thinks they know that God called them to preach." I said, "Do you think you've been called to preach, or do you know, pastor?" He said, "That's a bit harsh, but I understand what you're saying." 2 days later, at the end of the meeting, the boy broke. He came running up to me. He said, "I can't take this anymore, Brother Bush." He said, "God called me to preach." I said, "You think so?" He said, "No, I know it." I said, "Good, let's talk." I wasn't trying to, if I could talk him out of it, guess what? God didn't call him. If I can't talk him out of it, guess what? God called him. Huh. So, number one, good people say, "This is what I think is right." Number two, good people then do what they think is right. See, people who get bitter think they know what is right, and then they do what they think is right. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6 says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Listen to this. "We have turned everyone to his own way." Well, I think this is what God wants me to do. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to our own way. Everybody doing okay? I'm showing you what 25 years of experience in the ministry full time has taught me. Working with hundreds of thousands and probably millions and millions of people, I watch people who think they know what God says, they go do that, and it's not what God said. Sincere people do what they think. Please don't mistake this statement. It's no different than the rebel who doesn't care what God thinks and does it anyway. I used to be principal in a couple different Christian schools. I would have a few discipline exercises in my office from time to time. You know, there were several different groups of people. You have, every once in a while, you just have bad kids. Then you have good kids who do bad things. Now listen to this statement. Do you know that a good kid that chews gum in class should get the same demerits as the bad kid that chews gum in class? Well, the good kid just forgot to spit it out. But guess what? They committed the same crime as the bad one. That's why you don't let the good kid go, because they will turn out bad. You give them the same discipline. Now, it can be applied with a little more tenderness, and it will probably be received a little better by the one that is a better kid. But either way, it's both wrong. You can be bad or good and break a rule, but should have the same punishment. By the way, parents, I just taught you how to help you in your child rearing. Just because somebody does something wrong does not mean they're a bad person. But when someone does not care about the rules and they do what they want anyway, that requires a little bit more discipline. You see, the devil did not try to get Eve to follow his way. The devil got Eve to do what she wanted to do, not God. "Eve, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die," God said. Eve, wouldn't you like to be like God? Wouldn't you like to know what good and evil is for yourself? Wouldn't you like to decide what is right and wrong yourself? You see, he got her to do what she thought was the good thing to do. She saw being like God good enough to break what God said. Number three. When we do what we think is right, and it's not what God thinks is right, it does not turn out well. Folks, everybody look at me for just a moment. You're not going to agree 100% with every decision that this pastor makes. I know that's earth-shattering. But as long as we're following what that book says, there's times I make decisions I don't agree with. There's times I have to make a decision based on what God said and not what my flesh wants to do. About 8:15 this morning when I found out our van got stolen, I wanted to do something in my flesh. I'll be honest with you. My flesh did not want to be kind. But I did what God said. I've not come to the pulpit with a vindictive attitude. I'm not depressed. Guess what? God'll take care of it. We're going to do what he said. You see, good people want what they want so much that they feel led by God to do what they want versus what God said. Eve wanted what Eve wanted so badly, she was willing to do what she wanted over what God wanted. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing or what are you about to do that you want so badly that you'll tell God that's what he's leading you to do? When he's not. I said this before, I'll say it again. God does not hide his will from anybody. Did you hear that? God does not hide his will for anybody. God has a will for your life. Why would a God that loves you, that wants you to find his will, why would he hide it? If you have to go looking for it that hard, baby, it's not God's will. He always makes it clear. Number four. When things don't work out well with good people get bitter. Good people who are sincere, who want to do right, who want to please God, do what they think is right, but it's not what God said, and it turns out bad, then they start blaming God. They're upset that their right motive did not allow it to turn out the way they wanted. God, here's what Job said. Didn't I serve you? Didn't I do all those good things? Didn't I have the right attitude? God, I was sincere. I lost my wealth. I lost my family. I lost my friends. I lost my health. I lost it all. And God, you're not fair to me. He got bitter. Say why? He did everything he thought was right. And it didn't turn out right. And then he started blaming God. Now listen to me. Just because you had a good motive, just because you had a sincere motive, does not mean it's going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. Some of you gray hairs know what I'm talking about. Let me rephrase that. Some of us gray hairs. It doesn't turn out quite like you thought. Say why? If I'd have known 25 years ago what I know now, I'd have never had kids. That's why God gives them to you when you ain't smart enough to know what you're getting into. Amen? Good night. God bless you. Those of you got little ones, babies, and you know, first grade and under, you think it's hard. You just wait till them puppies become adults. They had no, teenagers is bad, but adult kids is worse because they got adult problems. Man, teenager, you still got a little control. When they leave your house and they have a problem, they have problems as big as you have problems. Yeah, trust me. I got one married, I know. Man, and there's nothing you can do. You can't go to where they are and beat them with a paddle and say, fix this. That's too late. That's when you do it when they're little, amen? Boy, that's good stuff. Some of you got bitter with God because you sincerely thought you were doing right. You had a good motive. And that good motive didn't turn out to be as right as you thought it was. Now you're upset with God. Well, God, I went soul winning. I read my Bible. I prayed. I did all those things. And I still face this bad situation. What was so wrong that I did? Now you're starting to get an attitude with God. Well, if that's the way it's going to be, why did I do all that? I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. Whew. Just because you had a good motive doesn't mean you were right. Do you know, I've had a lot of good motives that didn't turn out the right way. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever try to do something nice for your wife and it didn't turn out quite like you thought? Lord have mercy. Oh, I'm not going into any personal illustrations. Number five. Good people who turn bitter want God to explain to them his reasoning. After you get bitter, Job said, why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. God, why is this happening to me? How come you're not telling me why it's going this way? Let me ask you a question. Who are you to point a finger in God's face? Who are you to demand of God that he answer to you? Well, God, I don't understand. You took my mom, or you took my dad, or you took my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife. Who are you to question God? Well, if I would have been there, it would have been all better. No, it wouldn't. God's in control, not you. I hate to tell you this. God's above you. He doesn't owe you any explanation. Do you know if you do what your boss says and it turns out bad and you did it exactly the way he said do it, when he said do it, and it still didn't turn out, you're not going to get blamed, he is. Even if you knew how to fix it, and you went to him and said, I don't think this is going to turn out right. You're going to do it this way. Great. Go do it. Folks, some of you get too stressed out because you know more than the boss. Let me pull over and park for just a second here. Protesting for McDonald's to pay you $15 an hour is stupid. You agreed to work for what you're working for. Shut up and work for it. By the way, 90% of the protesters have already been found out. They don't even work at McDonald's. They've been hired to go protest. Just so you know. That's why it's called entry-level job. It's not intended to be a career unless you're getting into management. We won't go there. Our ways seem to make sense. Now we expect God to explain himself to us. Well, God, I was sincere and I really thought this was going to work this way. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Well, then you tell me why it didn't work. Who are you to talk to God that way? We get bitter because we feel we deserve better because we were sincere. Baby, if you got what you deserve, you'd be burning in hell right now. Everybody in here, including the preacher, deserves hell because I'm a sinner just like you are. I don't deserve anything better than hell. Anything above that, guess what? It's okay. It's okay. Some of you are bitter with God. You didn't get your toy. You didn't get what you wanted exactly the way you wanted. Can I tell you something? God knows better than you know. Number six, and I'll finish for this morning. Once you get bitter, good people then become more bitter and start the cycle over again. See, you get bitter in one area of your life over what God did. Listen to this statement. You harbor that bitterness and don't get it right. Guess what? You're going to start the cycle all over again. And you're going to get bitter in another area. And then you're going to get bitter in another area. Well, I used to go to church and this pastor hurt me. And then I went to another church and this person hurt me. I'm not ever going to church anymore because they hurt me. Oh. You want me to put you over my shoulder and burp you too? You think I've been in church my whole life and have never been hurt? God didn't say you're going to go to church and never get hurt. You're around other sinners just like you. Let me ask you a question. How many people have you hurt and didn't know it? Huh. So your way doesn't turn out quite like you thought. You get bitter, then you get bitter again. Then you get bitter again. Then you get bitter again. And you start this vicious cycle. I don't care who it is. My most vicious enemy could walk through that door right there. You know what I'd do? Good to see you. I'm not bitter. You say, well, you never had anybody hurt you real bad. Right. Right. I'm telling you, no bitterness. None. I can't tell you that if my bitterest enemy walked through that door, that next Sunday, they're going to be a Sunday school teacher at Grace Baptist Church. I can forgive a rattlesnake. That doesn't mean I got to trust him. Somebody steps on that thing and it bites him. That's what a snake does. But may I say this, it doesn't mean I'm going to get close enough to handle the thing. I didn't say I was going to trust my deepest enemy, but there is no bitterness. There's no anger. There's no malice. And I want to get back at nobody. None. Do you know that the enemies that I know I have, I pray for them? And I don't pray for God to kill them. Quit playing God. You're bitter. You're bitter. There are times I say, God, they're involved in evil and you must stop the evil. Please protect the one doing the evil, but stop the evil. But Lord, don't let them get hurt. Don't hurt their family. Don't let their children be hurt. That's how I pray for my enemies, just so you know. Say, you've never prayed for somebody, for God to kill somebody? No, I'm not God and I'm not that evil. I'm not. I find nowhere in Scripture that that's right. I'm for restoring my enemy. I'd like to see my enemy start winning people to Christ and get right with God and have fellowship with God again. How about you? We continue the pattern of doing what we think instead of following what God says in the Bible. And because we don't see it God's way, we see it our way, we start the cycle all over again. By the way, this is called humanism in Christianity. That's humanism. That's you saying what I think is more important than what God says. Listen to this statement. Wise people cannot be bitter people. The moment you become bitter, you lose your wisdom. Because wisdom is seeing life through God's eyes, not through your eyes. And when you start looking through God's eyes and not your eyes, you cannot be bitter. Bitterness causes you to look through your eyeballs, not God's. Well, I know somebody that was wise and they were bitter, and at that moment they lost their wisdom. That's why the Bible says in the book of Job, wise men are not always wise. Job lost his wisdom. And he said, God, I've been looking through my eyes and not your eyes. God, I yield what I am and I'll do what you say do. And then look what happened. God restored unto Job double of everything that he had. When he started looking through God's eyes and not his. He quit questioning God. God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen? That was my friend. That was my family. That was this. That was that. Yeah, and God did it. God allowed it. Guess your way wasn't right. God's way was right. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to get to heaven? You going to do it God's way? Thing landed in my head. You're going to get to heaven by trying to be a good person and do it your way, or trusting what Jesus Christ did for you? That's the question. You trying to earn it yourself? Guess what? You're going to be bitter with God when they cast you into hell. Well, I tried. Yeah, you tried, but God said do it this way. You're not good enough to get there on your own. You needed Jesus Christ to come and pay your sin debt for you. He came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood on the cross, died 3 days, 3 nights later. He got up out of the grave. He conquered death. He paid that penalty. He lived the righteousness for you. So all you got to do is receive what he did for you to take you to heaven. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to do nothing but receive what Jesus Christ did for you. And you're that quick on your way to heaven. Say, well, where do you find that? Jesus looked at one of the thieves on the cross and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't join the church. He didn't get baptized. He didn't live a good life. He was dying for being a thief. Guess what? Jesus died for him. One got bitter and said, if you can't get down off that cross and get us down, I don't want what you got. He was trying to do it himself. Let me ask you a question. What in that heart of yours is bitter? Some of you are afraid to let go and let God have it all. Some of you need to get to this altar and give it all back to God and say, I don't see eye to eye with you. I disagree with you, but I'm going to go against what I see, do what you say, and I'm going to quit turning to my own way. Could be why you're astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Tonight, I'll show you 6 steps on how to get rid of bitterness in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I must quit. Who would say, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I don't have any doubt at all. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I mean this, I won't embarrass anybody. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not really 100% sure I'd go to heaven? But I sure would like to know someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. All right. Who'd say, preacher? I've been looking at life too much through my own eyes. There's some areas where God and I don't see eye to eye on things. And I've gotten this thing crossed up a little bit. And I needed that today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put your hands down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you raised your hands that I'm not sure I'm going to heaven someday, would you come front? We'll let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you need to come to this altar and get something right with the Lord. Maybe you've been saved and never made it public. We can do that. Whatever your need, you come.